Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, no matter the weather outside, may that not be the weather in our hearts. No matter the words that are spoken here, may you be glorified. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you would, find your worship bulletin, turn to the back. There you find your gospel reading for this Sunday. This is the baptism of the Lord, and so we spend a little bit of time in the actual act, and then we take a little bit of time of as Lutherans, what does this mean? Because that's what we really want to know, and that's kind of where we want to key in our lives. Because it's just simple water. It's this river running in Israel. But the question is, what more does it have, and why does Jesus do this? And so that's what we want to get in this morning. So we take a look at John chapter 3, and we take a look a little bit more, starting at verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And so this morning, we want to take a look a little bit. I'm going to butcher this, so please, okay, Greek and Hebrew, I understand. I'm going to need a little bit of help this morning with the Spanish, all right? So I am not a native speaker here, so we're going to take a little bit here. There is a famous bridge here. And it's in Nicaragua. It is one of the most famous bridges of its type. Has anyone ever heard this? What's the pronunciation of this? Anybody? I'm not in Texas anymore. They don't down there. It's no problem. Cholutecca. Cholutecca. All right, and so I'm going to go with that, even though, just like my Greek, you just have to kind of wing it a little bit sometimes. And so this is in Nicaragua, and so if you take a look at that country, it's actually towards the southern part, the south central part, and so beautiful bridge, correct, right, that we can say. Very useful. If you take a look at the waters, it is very beneficial to have a bridge there so that you don't have to wade through that water. So it increases industry. It cuts down on disease. But the interesting thing is not all bridges are made to last. You're wondering what happens. Well, the problem is here's the before. Here's the after. All right? This is the bridge and what it looks like. This is what happens when a hurricane goes through the area. So there was a hurricane that came off the Caribbean, and it hit, slammed into Nicaragua, and it kind of stayed around a little while. If you notice, where does this bridge go? Where does it begin? It's kind of, you kind of have that question of what's going on here. Who actually built this bridge and whose fault is it? The problem is it's nobody's fault. Something just happened. And so the bridge doesn't start anywhere, it doesn't end. You just have the remains of it. This morning we want to take a look at baptism this morning, because this is the destructive side of water. This is what happens in nature. But what I really want to point out to you today is this. We have a lot of questions over baptism. We have a lot of questions over who Jesus is in this culture today. And so what I want to point out to you today is Jesus calls his followers to follow him, to literally follow him. And so what does it mean to literally follow Jesus? And so the answer to that is looking at everything he said and everything he did. And when he comes to the Jordan, he comes as, number one, a perfected man without sin. That's something that our culture struggles with because our culture does not understand that. Jesus comes as fully God and fully man, which means he is not conceived sinful. He was made by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when he is born, he does not have original sin inside him like we do. As David points out to us, is he was made literally with sin. And so when we are baptized, we literally are thinking into ourselves is that God takes the sin inside us from the very second, or even if you want to narrow it down, for the minuscule second that we were created. And God says in this baptism, he is washing away all of our sins. And that's difficult for us to believe and follow through on because how can God do that to us? But here's what God wants us to understand about baptism. Baptism, literally washing away of sin, isn't something that he goes by and says, you know what, it doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end, and it's literally something that doesn't point to anything. It's not a journey that literally like this bridge here that you can see that only parts of it still remain. The baptism that we are baptized in starts with Jesus, and we follow him. Following him means, okay, what did Jesus do? He goes to John and says, John, I need to be baptized. John says, why? Why? And Jesus says, literally, I mean, to fulfill our righteousness. As Lutheran, he's like, I don't understand that, Jesus. And to quite literally be looking at Jesus through the eyes of John and literally Jesus saying, everyone who comes after me must do this, is take away whoever they are and follow in my footsteps. And the following my footsteps is to follow in this, is that he to be washed by the water of baptism. And so therefore, following me simply means you follow me into this baptism with me. And so this morning, we're taking a look of what does that really mean? And so this morning, we take a look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? It was our epistle lesson for today. And so Paul beautifully points out that, if you would read this with me, we were buried, therefore, with him. So we see here that what Jesus does is what we do. We step with him step by step because he walks with us. And so Paul is trying to point out that when we are baptized in his name, we are also looking at what he did on the cross. Because he was a follower of what God the Father, you know, was guiding him towards. And he showed us what it meant to be obedient even though he was God. That's like, whoa, you're God. You don't have to do that. He became obedient even unto death for our sakes. That's huge. That God would actually come here and to take our place, and the one place that he starts out is in waters of baptism to show us the way. And then he also says, okay, you want to follow me? Take up your cross and follow me. Take and everything you are, whoever you think you are, whatever your title, whatever you have amassed in life, you got to clear that away. And you got to put on the death of Jesus Christ and mark yourself by him. And therefore, by doing so, your life takes on a whole new meaning. You don't have to discover yourself. You discover who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you and how Jesus paved the way for you. And that is what life is all about. And that's what Paul is trying to bring up here, is we're following Jesus in wherever Jesus went. And so this morning, we also take a look at Hebrews chapter 2. 16 through 18, if you would read this with me. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is also what I want to point out to you this morning. We often are charged with having a God that doesn't understand what we're going through. We are charged with a God who if your God is really in control of the universe, what's he doing so far away from man? And the problem being is that that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says Jesus came as a little baby, just like we start out as. And step by step, he did what we do. He lived out life, yet did it without sin. And so what we're trying to convey here in this Hebrews passage is that Jesus is not someone who says, you know, I'm a far off God. No, he's a God that lived among us, who saw our suffering firsthand, and yet did something about it. And so when we see, what has Jesus done? Jesus has come to this earth for you and for me to take on sin and to wipe it away. And so when we think of baptism, when we think of what water means, did you this morning get up and when you turned on the, you guys did shower, right? Okay, I'll know that once I get back, right? All right. When you turned on the water this morning, did you think of your baptism? When you took a drink of whatever you had this morning, did you think of your baptism? When you washed your car by paying somebody else to start the button, did you think of your baptism? We often miss that God uses the simple in order to teach us about the divine. That he is washing us with a water that amazingly connected with his word is taking our sins and washing them further, 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 so it's not even close to us. This is what God does with simple things because of his word. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, this is difficult for us because it is something that on the one hand, we might think we understand, but at the same time, to understand the gravity of what you have done for us is a little difficult for us. That you would pave the way for us, Lord, not by just simply telling us what to do. Lord God, you lived it. You showed us by your example. Lord God, we thank you that, Lord God, because of what you have done, you're a God to be pointed to, that you, as a brother for us, took upon the weight of sin, and Lord God, you wash it away. So we look at the washing of what it means for those nails to rip through your flesh, to expose the blood, the precious blood in your veins, to understand what it meant for the water to flow from your lungs when you were pierced. Lord God, we understand that water is important. You are living each and every day alongside of us, showing us in your word the example you gave to us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.